an angel, a promise and a song, a word to grant for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told.
Amen. The point of our musical is to tell about the baby born in a manger who brings salvation to the world. And I hope we were able to communicate that, and I hope that we will be able to continue to communicate that as we look really at one verse this morning. John chapter 1, verse 14. It's on the screen behind me, and just for sake of being able to get right into it, I'm going to read that, and you can follow along behind me, but it says this: "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of Your Word. God, we pray that You would help us to be able to apply Your Word. God, that You would share with us who You are through the Scripture, and that we would know You, Father. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The significant event that we just sang about really changes history. The birth of Jesus changes history completely. Now, again, our calendar is loosely, at best, based on Jesus. I understand that. But I also do want you to know, I want us to agree together that when Jesus comes into the world, everything changes. And when we think about that change, I want us to acknowledge this morning that Christmas is a celebration of presence. And I do not mean presence as in P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I mean that Christmas is a celebration of the presence of God. We celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ Himself came to earth in the form of a human child. And His presence is with us. We talk about this word a lot at Christmas time. And it's one of those things that really we should talk about it throughout the year. But the word Emmanuel is God is with us. And so this morning when we think about who we are in Christ, I want us to remember that we have the presence of God here with us today in a personal sense. He's not around, though He is. He's not somewhere else, though He is. He is right here among us, right here with us. And even as I did as a little child, maybe it is time for us to remember that God sits next to us. He sits in front of us. He sits behind us. He sits with us. He is here today. I spent time in church looking at the ceiling. There was a grid ceiling when I was growing up, and I would spend time while the preacher was preaching, and I would look up at the ceiling, and I'd cross my eyes to see if I could get the grid to come down closer to me more in a 3D sense. Anybody else done that? No? Okay, just me. Very good. That's okay. But I would sit there, and I would think, if that grid can be closer to me, I wonder if God can be closer to me. That is a child's logic. Child's logic. But what I felt, what I hoped, is that God, Emmanuel, was with us. Was with me. And I had heard the stories about how He was around. But I wanted the idea of that God to be right there with us. I love Christmas. And on Monday of next week, in our household, we'll spend time unwrapping gifts. We will spend time wrapping those gifts. We will spend time trying to make those gifts look good. Again, I've shared this with you. My gifts, when I wrap them, look really good. I mean, I'm just a master at wrapping. I'm just kidding about that. I'm not really. But I do work to try to make the wrapping look good. I want to take that wrapping story in another direction, though. You know, when we start to open the gifts on Christmas morning, and I've been with family members, and I've been with my own family, there are those of us who, when we get that present and we have the opportunity to open that present, it's rip it open as quickly as you can. You don't care about how that present was wrapped. You just tear it open and you want to see what it is. There are those, however, who understand the wrapping process and they take time to neatly open that package. In fact, some of you probably think, I could save this paper for next year. I don't want to throw this away. This could be helpful for me. And so as we open the presents, as we open those gifts, we all do it in a different way. But I am reminded that even as I open those gifts, that I am opening the presence of God each and every day. Did you know that's a believer? That every morning when we wake up, it's another gift being given to us. When we wake up each and every morning, it is a present, and we experience the presence of God. Christmas is a celebration of that presence, but Christmas is also a celebration of life. Some 2,000 years ago, some of you may be a little bit dogmatic about Jesus being born between 4 and 6 BC, and so you can do the math, you do it very quickly in your head, and you say, well, that's 2,023 years ago. I worked on the math before I came in here, by the way. But we celebrate the fact that Jesus was born. The day that we celebrate is likely not the day that Jesus was born. Jesus was actually probably not even born in this season. But Christmas is the celebration of the day that Jesus was born, because that little life changed everything. Which, by the way, if I remember just about 20 minutes ago, that little life that was being held right here changed the entire scenario of what was being done here, right? Because we love children. We love babies. And when Jesus came to this earth, he was loved, but he was different. And folks, I don't want us to pass this up. This little baby spent his life growing up in a perfect way. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ himself was perfect, because had he not been perfect, had he not been sinless, we wouldn't have the presence or the gift of Jesus like we have it even today. Christmas is a celebration of life. Even when we think about presents, 2,023 years ago, Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he was lying in a manger. And even his own parents had the opportunity and the privilege to unwrap just a little bit of that precious child. And by the way, we all love babies. We love our own baby just a little bit more. Our own baby's just a tad better than everybody else's baby. I want you to know this, that Jesus, he completely changed the scale by who he was. He completely rewrote the book by who he was. He changed everything. There were those who were waiting for that Messiah to come and destroy and take back the Jews for themselves and lead them into a prosperous time. And so they were waiting for that Messiah to come and take hold. Jesus came in a different way. And he said that we should love our neighbor and our enemies. He said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. He said, if someone asks you to go a mile with them, go an extra mile with them. Jesus changed everything. The birth of Jesus doesn't just change history, but it changes our relationships. I love every single one of you. I love this church. I've enjoyed, and really it's been a passion of mine for the last nearly 6 years to pastor this church. We share such a sweet fellowship. I enjoyed being in the annex this morning and seeing adult 5, 6, 7, and 8 fellowshipping and being rowdy. Those who some would call prime timers. We had to settle them down. And then even Wednesday Bible study, at our noon Bible study, I played a game with those who were, you know, in their advanced age, and they were rowdy, and I couldn't even get through my Bible study. We share a good time. We share a good time. And then there are those who are around my age, and we're going through life together, and we're trying to rear children together, and we're encouraging each other in these things, and we share in Bible study together, and so we have that. And then we have couples who are younger and who we want to pray for and encourage and love on. And then no church is really a church without those students and without the children and without the preschool. I love our church. But I make no bones about this. We are united in one thing. in Christ? Would we have friendships apart from Christ? Certainly. But this morning, what we are here to do is worship God, and we are unified in our love for Christ. In Acts chapter 2, we see that the believers had everything in common. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and to fellowship. And it goes on to say that they had everything in common. What did they have in common? What was that everything? Everything that they needed was Jesus. They had Jesus in common. Jesus changes our relationship. And all of those are incredible things, but I want to acknowledge this morning the most important thing, and that is our relationship with a Heavenly Father. He changed it. Had Jesus not walked the planet, had Jesus not allowed His presence to be here, Emmanuel, we don't have the same opportunity that we have right now to live abundant life and to live eternal life. Jesus completely changed it. I want us to know, though, that the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, it must be initiated. God started the process. God began a good work in you, and the good work that God begins in you, He is faithful to complete it. God initiates that relationship so that we might respond to the godly call on our lives. And it is our responsibility that once that we have responded to go tell the good news that we just sang about. God initiates that relationship. If you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've had a time in your life where God made Himself known to you. His presence was clarified to you. And God was drawing you unto Himself. And having said that, I want to be clear this morning that God has done His part, and our part is not to work harder. Our part is not to be better. Our part is to receive the gift that God has given us. Talked a little bit about this last week, that gift that is sitting under the tree that has been neatly wrapped, and those of us who will tear into it and those of us who will open it up neatly, and we understand that we are unwrapping just a little bit of Jesus each and every day. There are still those, likely even in this room this morning, who have never, ever unwrapped the gift. Because while God initiates that relationship, the relationship must be received. Folks, I'm not saying that in a general way. I know that I'm talking to a few hundred people, but I am saying that very individually, very personally. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Have you opened the greatest present, the greatest package that has ever been given? The gift that God initiated, have you received it? Because that's why Jesus came to earth. So that we might have relationship with God. Finally, the birth of Jesus changes everything. It changes everything. I want to share just a few scriptures as we close this morning. It's because of Jesus that we have hope and peace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2 through 5, it says this, "And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." We have hope because of Jesus Christ. As believers, we should act, respond, and live differently. We have hope. When we feel like the world has drug us down, we have hope. When we feel like the government has failed us, we have hope. When it feels like our world isn't giving anything in return, we still have hope. Who is our hope in? Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Not only do we have hope in Christ, but He also gives us a peace that passes understanding. That verse is used so much in funerals today, and I probably use that verse in most funerals that I do, but it's not a verse that should be reserved only for funerals. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, says Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We've been given hope. And when the stirring of struggle, when the stirring of dissatisfaction continues in your heart, let me tell you what to do there. It sounds simple. Give it to the Lord. Folks, we pastors and Bible study teachers, we've worked so hard to give you some kind of self-help, some kind of way to manage this, and what we've forgotten to tell you is give it to the Lord. Don't hold on to it, because God gives a peace that passes all understanding. I can't comprehend it. I can't even properly communicate it. And you know what? That's okay, because the Bible says that we can't really understand the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. He gives us peace that passes all understanding, exceeds all understanding. And as a believer, you have the privilege of holding on to that. Hope and peace, which, by the way, we've acknowledged already in our hope and our peace Advent candle. Because of Christ, we also have joy, and we also have love. This morning we lit the joy candle, and next week we'll light the love candle. I know you can't see this from your vantage point. It's something symbolic that we are doing up here. Again, it's nothing necessarily special, but the way that our candles are aligned, we are making the cross, because ultimately the cross of Christ changes everything. Next Sunday night, we'll light the Christ candle, acknowledging who He is. Because of Christ, we have joy. In Psalm 35, verse 9, it says, "And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, and it will exalt His salvation." And then finally, in love, again, we almost fail to mention this verse because it seems like it's spoken so much that we pastors and Bible study leaders, we kind of outsmart ourselves. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His one and His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That really comes with a promise. That promise is everlasting life, and we understand in John 10:10 that that promise also comes with abundant life. It is my desire at Christmas time not to be distracted by all the parties, the events, the decoration, the carols, because these are all great things that should aid us in looking at the Father. But too many times what we've done is we've allowed ourselves to become distracted. It is my prayer that this week we would remember the hope that we have in Christ, our salvation through Him, and that we would go tell everyone we know about the love we have for Him. If you have not unwrapped the gift that God has given through Jesus Christ, if you have never received faith through Christ, today is a perfect day to do that. Admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus walked this earth and went to the cross for you. And confess, agree with God, your need for a Savior while asking for forgiveness. He will change your life forever. And I know, I acknowledge that Christmas time just in churches across the United States just doesn't seem like the appropriate time to make a public profession of faith. And I say, it's the perfect time, because we will celebrate it with you. Maybe this morning you're looking for a church home and you haven't found the perfect church. Well, congratulations, you didn't find it here either. But we are a church who loves people and are looking forward to continuing that relationship in Christ. I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning to make your life right with the Lord. as even you receive that presence of God that He so badly desires for you to have. And if you feel like that's you this morning, God is speaking into your life, I would love for you to confess that this morning publicly so that we can celebrate with you the victory that you have in Jesus. And as always, we still do have our altar open for prayer. I would invite you to come. Would you pray with me?